For some time I've been thinking about giving this lesson, this topic. I'm not sure what they'll put on it when they label it on the website, but we'll see what happens. Back in the late 1700s, people were noticing that milkmaids would get cowpox from milking the cows, and then those same milkmaids didn't seem to ever come down with the smallpox. How many of you have a little ring on your shoulder from getting a smallpox shot? I assume that's where the vaccine went in, and that's where you get the one pock, and that's better than coming down with the full bore of smallpox. This was became quite common that the milkmaids never got smallpox. And a man by the name of Edward Jenner in the late 1790s thought he would try an experiment, and he took the pus that was underneath the pox on the cow. And by the way, the cows get a bad rap on this because it's actually transmitted by mice and rodents. And the cows would get the cowpox, which was on their udder, on the teats that the milkmaids were milking. And anyway, Jenner took the pus from the cowpox and gave it to a young man, and caused him to come down with a case of the cowpox. And then later in life, he determined that this boy never did get the smallpox, because he'd had the cowpox like the milkmaids. And so then later he inoculated or gave a vaccine to his own son, not somebody else's experimental child, but his own son he gave the vaccine to. And this was in the late 1790s, so vaccines have been around a long time. Not trying to, I don't want to confuse you, but there's the cowpox, the smallpox, and then something that we're more probably common in our lifetime is chickenpox. And I think the children, do they still get vaccines for chickenpox? Okay, it's been a long time since I've been there, and most of us are kept aware through our lives, especially when you get old like me, that it's kind of funny in a way, but you get this old, and you don't remember if you had chickenpox or not, and so you don't know if you need the shot to fight off the shingles, and then I've heard that sometimes the shingle shot gives you shingles, maybe in a lighter stage. But anyway, there's several of us, and a year or so ago, I was one of them that came down with shingles from apparently having smallpox, from having chickenpox as a child and not knowing it. My parents, I don't know how long they've had the shingle shot, so I'm not sure if my parents were negligent in telling me or informing me or not. The thing about the chickenpox and the cause of the shingles is that the chicken pox get in the nerve, and they will hide the nerve and stay there. I don't know if you call it dormant, but they'd be in that nerve for 60, even 70, 80 years. And I guess you can be fortunate that it's in one nerve and not another. Mine was on my back and came around my belly, and I went to the doctor complaining with my back and my belly both hurting. I thought something's wrong here, but I was surprised when he told me that you've got shingles. And I definitely know that it's associated with a nerve, because I have hot water about as hot as you can stand in my shower, and I just love to just let that hot water hit that area on my back. It was just like a, it was just some, it's just hard to explain unless you've experienced the same thing yourself. It's just that you just putting that area and punishing it or burning it, whether it was going to get worse or not. Anyway, when Greg said, you've got shingles, I said, you sure it's not just an irritation from being too hot water and for a long time? He said, no, I know my shingles, and he was right. And sometimes this pain that you have never goes away on some people. It's important that if you think you might have shingles, that you get some treatment right away. And it's quite common that some of that pain never goes away. I'm just kind of subconsciously every once in a while catch myself rubbing that spot. And I guess I was fortunate at the time, though, that the actual pox on my body weren't where I needed to scratch. Does that make sense? I could rub and not irritate the scab, so that was a good thing. There's vaccines for that, even though they can be dormant for years. Vaccines creating an immunity to disease. I have this with my cattle. I have choices on some of the shots I give. They're taking amounts of a live virus or a killed virus or a modified live virus, and you give it to an animal hoping that it never has a problem with the vaccine, the disease the vaccine is for. So a lot of these are helpful. I don't really want to get into the debate about, because a lot of people feel that some of these vaccines cause autism. I saw a little video on that, but by and large, most vaccines are helpful and have saved a lot of people. If people that have polio would probably tell you that, you know, the vaccines are a very good thing. A quote that, this is a partial quote from Charles Fry posted not too long ago, and I knew I was going to talk about something to do with immunity. And it says, if we would teach our children to read the Bible truly, it would be a good vaccination against cynical realism from the non-Christian side, because the Bible portrays its characters as honestly as any debunker or modern cynic ever could. So it would be a good vaccination against like a cynic. Cynical is a person that's distrustful of reality, and Bible portrays his characters as honestly as any debunker or someone that would expose it or discredit any bias they saw in something. So the Bible's just very good. It's inspired by God, so it's an honest portrayal of characters. And most characters in the Bible, there seem to be a flaw here and there. Once in a while, we have some way that there's never anything said bad about them or negative about them. And that doesn't mean the ones that aren't mentioned as being sinful. It's not mentioned. It's not meaning that they're perfect, or it's just that there wasn't anything that pertained to it that the writers felt that it was needed for us to know. Making good use of the Bible, gathering much knowledge, and striving for great wisdom. Remember, Wade was here. He brought out some he brought out some examples of liberal scholars, people that were very liberal as far as the way they worshipped. He brought that out, that they knew what the early church practiced, but they didn't see a need to practice it today. They were just full of knowledge, but not wisdom. Didn't have the wisdom to try to be that New Testament church today. one thing when I'm around the academic world that kind of gripes me is that there's a push. They're really wanting to, you to educate yourself and make fill you with all kinds of knowledge and take courses, but they don't realize that a little learning with wisdom is better than all the knowledge in the world without wisdom. Another thought, instead of immunity, we could go to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And this is one of God's ways to instruct us on how to live. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Reading that, I'm not sure you think of an immunity, but that advice is great immunity. Allows us to be free from sin if we keep all those things in mind. Our immunity, as far as vaccines and so forth, that aspect doesn't really apply to my thought. I really want to get the cross, because we don't take in a little bit of adultery, we don't take in a little bit of theft, we don't take in a little bit of coveting. We don't try to prevent great covetousness or great adultery or great theft by taking a little bit or getting an injection of a small amount. The immunization for me along that line is that if we have wisdom, we can see what other people have done. You know, sin is usually pleasurable. It's the consequences that aren't. And so if we with wisdom can look at other people, just look at the news. About every Dr. Phil show or something like that, there's things on there that because of sin, people are experiencing great pain. And so if, as a Christian, and thinking of the armor that Paul speaks to us about from God, hopefully we will be wise and we will know how to handle ourselves and learn from the mistakes of others. And experience is probably the best teacher. But who wants to experience all those all the repercussions of the sins that we can possibly do? The reason I thought of this was I think I told you about my cousin's wife. She was she and her husband and her kids, some of her kids were here not last Labor Day, but a year before that. And last year we had plans to kind of do it again. Her kids had come down from Osage and they'd come up from Kansas. About that time, she was experiencing some health issues, and I knew it wasn't going to work. She had pneumonia, and she had to be hospitalized. And this isn't the best doctor in the world, but one of her doctors said that behind the pneumonia, there was a mass that she had cancer behind that. What you see when you have pneumonia, your lungs are cloudy. Well, anyway, there's a mass behind that cloud. It must have cancer. But when she went to the cancer doctors, they weren't sure that that was the case. And that was Susie's one thrill, was that she didn't have cancer. But she doctored and she doctored and she doctored. And so that was before Labor Day last year. And they got her over pneumonia, and they tried to do some biopsies, and her lungs, part of her lung would collapse. And so then they try to get another biopsy, and they'd try to measure the amount of the mass that was there. And I think some of you, this is repetitious. She had histoplasmosis is what they were thinking. And that's something dealing with rodents and chickens. This gets passed, and Susie loved her chickens. I've heard just recent months since her having this that salmonella can be on eggs and so forth, and the chicken hatches and has the salmonella from birth, and then you have all these little chickens that are so adorable to children, they get them up and they can pass the salmonella that way. That's not histoplasmosis, that's salmonella. But histoplasmosis is passed from chicken manure, bird feces, and people get it and have it in their lungs. And anyway, they wanted a sure diagnosis of this, so they sent her to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, and they agreed with the diagnosis that her previous doctors thought she probably had, and put her on a couple inhalers and gave her an expensive antibiotic and sent her home and said, come back later in several months. And so her trip back to Rochester was last April. I think it was April 23rd, she had an appointment. And she was doing good, and they said it looked like the histoplasmosis had increased a little bit in its size, but they said sometimes it does that. I don't know of anybody that's had histoplasmosis and it's completely gone away. I don't know that much about it. I just know enough because of Susie's experience. Well, anyway, April 23rd, she had an appointment, and they said, you look good, feel positive, and come back in a couple months. And so that was April 23rd, and they stayed all night with their kids in Osage, and I met them on the north side of Des Moines for lunch, and we had a great time. Good food and good conversation. Wouldn't know that she had anything wrong with her. Less than a week later, she'd come down with pneumonia, and they put her in the hospital and tried to get her over it, and basically she was on her deathbed. And one day they decided to pull everything out, all of the they had her on a ventilator, and decided to let her function without all these aids, and she got better for about a day. And they put her on occupational and occupational and physical therapy, and she was worn out, but they were hopeful that she wasn't using the ventilator or any of those aids. And she was just happy she didn't have cancer. And I messaged her daughter. I said, I asked her if histoplasmosis had compromised her immunity, because that's what we thought we were dealing with. The histoplasmosis was increasing the chances of getting pneumonia. And she said, no. Susie had had a car wreck several years ago. and she'd been following a dump truck in a real dusty road, and she didn't realize the dump truck had stopped, and she rear-ended the dump truck and had to be life-flighted, and she had a lot of broken ribs and other broken bones in her body. And she'd suffered from arthritis. And she said all of her treatments for, I think you'd call it rheumatoid, all of her treatments for arthritis had compromised her immunity. So she had no immune system because the treatment for the arthritis had taken it. So she didn't have any way to fight this pneumonia and so forth. About a day or so later, Susie's gone. And it just makes me think, on April 23rd, she got sent home. We're together on the 24th, have a great time. And it's not even, I think, about the 19th of the month of May, not even a full month, she was gone. That's why we need an immunity or an armor against sin. It's because there may be one of us here that's not here in a month. No one would have guessed, as good as Susie was that day, that she would be gone in a month. Health reasons aren't the only reasons people die. We can get in accidents. We can get trapped in caves and not be able to get out, apparently. Hopefully the boys get out. This world is not our home. God has a much better place for people that serve Him and people that learn with wisdom, not to have to learn from experience every sin, the pleasure of that sin. With wisdom, we see it, maybe it brings pleasure, but the consequences aren't worth it. So let's build up our immunity, build up our armor, learn what is pleasing to God, learn what helps us be a better person, be a more Christian person, be more righteous. Our children are growing up in a world that I didn't forecast we'd be living in. Things are a lot more complicated today than they were when we were children. This can be a very sinful world, a lot of things that pull us away from following Christ as He wanted us to, as His disciples and apostles instructed the early church. Let's be that early church and try to be a pure early church so that we'll be ready when Christ returns. So we'll stand and offer you the gospel invitation. Anything we can do for you spiritually, come forward as we sing number 100. Thank you.